says one is permitted to do a malacha on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Another mitzvah he writes, Shalom lahanish the Shabbos of the Yom Tov. We have the pasuk, Lasavara esh b'chol mashvasechem b'yoyim ha-Shabbos. So the Gemara says, what do you need a pasuk for Havara? There are 39 malachas, they're all prohibited. So the Gemara says, one might have established through a kavachimer that it should be permissible for the Bezin to administer Mises Bezin on Shabbos. The Gemara explains that it says, Nimis b'chit kachen olomus, that if a person deserves Einish Mises Bezin, so you give him the death penalty, even if he's the only kohen who can be makor of the karbonis and the Beis HaMikdash. So you see that Mrs. Bezdin is more important than the mitzvah of karbonis, and we know that karbonis is Dibra Adecha Shabbos. So if A is greater than B, B is greater than C, so then A Memela is greater than C. That's also a kavachim, two different kinds of kavachim. So I should really say that Mrs. Bezdin should be more chomer than Shabbos should be able to be Adecha Shabbos. So Kamash Malan the Pasuk, the Sevar Eish B'chom HaShvasechem B'yayim HaShabbos, that it's not so. So the Magen Avraham doesn't understand in Hilchos Shabbos and Shin Lamed Tes. Magen Avraham doesn't understand why the Rambam counts this pasuk as a separate law. This pasuk is just that you shouldn't make a mistake and think that Mises Bezin is Dechah Shabbos Kamash Malon. The Kal V'Chaymer is wrong, but you're not allowed to administer the Mises Bezin because it's a Malach on Shabbos and the Kal V'Chaymer is not correct. So apparently the Magen Avraham says, apparently the Rambam thinks that this pasuk teaches us a separate law. The Kal V'Chaymer really is correct. Mrs. Bezin really is Deicha Shabbos. But still, there's a separate law, Sevarash B'chom HaShosechem, that you're not permitted to be manish for Shabbos. That's why some poskim say one is not permitted to put somebody in Cherem on Shabbos, and that would be an Issa Deraisa, Sevarash B'chom HaShosechem. So the Shulchan Aruch has this in Shin Lamed Tes. Let's say a person is a criminal, and the Jewish government wants to put him in jail, or the secular government wants to put him in jail. The Jews are going to help out to put this man in jail. So you're not permitted to grab him on Shabbos to put him in jail in order to punish him. So Rabbi Kivege writes there, number three of the Marmukhaimis, Rabbi Kivege quotes from the Achareinim, what happens if the fellow doesn't want to eat matzah on Pesach night? So the Gemara says, Makinos Achiyame writes on it. You beat him up until he eats the matzah. I bet it's the Hanleel Yontif, it's on Pesach. So how he Makinos? So Rabbi Kivege says the two different types of makin. Sometimes we beat someone up as an oinish lisha ovar, and sometimes we beat a person up in order to be kofer him lahabo, in order to fulfill a mitzvah. So let's say the fellow doesn't want to sit in sukkah. Rabbi Kivege says sukkah sheni yoshev. He doesn't want to sit in sukkah. So when are you going to beat him up? On yontav. I am manish and beyontav. The answer is this is not an oinish lisha ovar. Not an oinish was something that he did in the past. This is in order to pressure him, in order to force him to fulfill a mitzvah in the future. But then there's another comment that Rabbi Kivege has that doesn't appear here on the sheets. I guess there are different editions of the Shulchan Aruch. So I guess the computer that they were using didn't have that Rabbi Kivege. In Johannesburg edition of that, Rabbi Kivege had different children. So each son took a different volume of his Shulchan Aruch. So one son went to South Africa, Johannesburg. Not to Johannesburg, Austria. He went to South Africa and he printed the Horus of Rabbi Kivege that he had. The other son printed a copy in Lemberg, I think. And then in the new editions in Eretz Yisrael, they put together all the Rebbe Kivege. So my edition of the Johannesburg edition of the Shulchan Aruch, they have the Ha'orah of Rebbe Kivege, has another Ha'orah. If a man wants to skip town and leave his wife in Aguna, leave her stuck. So he says, then he wants to run away on Shabbos. Atzatzke, he wants to run away on Shabbos. So it says, you do put him in jail on Shabbos because you're not punishing him for something that he did in the past. You're pressuring him in the future not to do this avla to his wife. The Gemara in Bava Kamma, take a look in the Marmar Kamma, number 7. The Gemara in Bava Kamma has a braisa, an Eved Ivri is muta b'shivcha k'nainis, as long as he remains an Eved Ivri. When the Eved Ivri goes free, when it comes Yovel, or the 6 years are up, he's Yotze b'sheish, then he's also b'shivcha k'nainis. So the Braisa says, how do you know that if a fellow is an Eved Ivri and it's time for him to go free, and he likes his girlfriend, he likes his Shivcha K'nainis, he does want to go free, but he's also the Shivcha K'nainis now. So the Braisa says, you're permitted and obligated to beat him up, and that's permissible. There's no problem. The Gemara learns that out from a pasuk. So the Gemara says, Be'evet Shemosol HaRabba Shivcha K'nainis Ad Hu'idna Hetera V'Hashdi Yisura. And in this case, the Gemara says, the Gemara there is in the middle of the sugya, starts on Daf Chav Zayin, on the base in Bava Kamma, beginning of the third Perek. the topic of Ovid Inish Dina L'Nafshei. Does a person have a right to take the law into his own hands to beat someone up if he's mazikin? So the Gemara says sometimes yes and sometimes no. The Gemara says Lafrushim Isura, that's one of the clauses. Lafrushim Isura, we say Ovid Inish Dina L'Nafshei. Why is that so? So the Gemara later, on that dach, on Chav Chesem and Alvim Bavakam, the Gemara has the expression, it's the last line in number 7, Nasis Yoda Kishliach Bezm Neptura. The Gemara says the heter that sometimes we say Ovid Inish Din L'Nafshe, a person has a right to take the law into his own hands, is based on the assumption that a Shliach Bezna has a heter to do these things. That's a number 8 in the Mar Mekoymus, the Gemara in the third Perek in Moed Kotten, in Ela Megalchen, the Gemara has all of the laws of Avelus and also the laws of Cherem and Nidui, because one is in Cherem, one is in Nidui, he has to observe Avelus for himself. If Bezna gives him a curse, he should drop dead. We consider him in a certain sense a gavrik tila, and when he dies, when a person is in nidu acher mishemez b'niduya bezin stoklim b'sarona, we don't observe avelus like haruge bezin. The Mishnah says one doesn't observe avelus, and when the person is in nidu, the din is that he has to observe avelus for himself. He is at fault for causing his status of gavrik tila. So the Gemara there, in discussing all of the aspects of cherem and nidu, so the Gemara says in number 8, the minolan de natsinon. How do you know you have the Shliach Bezna has a right to beat the fellow up with Laitinon, and you can curse the Machinon, and you can slap with Tashinon Seir, and you can rip the guy's hair out, Umashbeinon, and you get abusive about it. And the Gemara continues, Kafsinon, Minolan the Kafsinon, and the next line, you tie the fellow up sometimes, Yasrinon, you can put him in prison, the Abdinon Habdafa, and you give him a hard time. The Gemara says, what does Hardafa mean? My Hardafa. So the Gemara says, you do it once, you do it a second time, you do it a third time, you repeat it. So the Gemara learns that from Sukkim that these are all permitted for the Shliach Bezin. Normally these are Rasa. You're not allowed to harass a person. That's an Isra of Hainor. That's the Mishnah in Bava Metzia, number 9. The Sukkim say when you sell merchandise to someone else, or when you sell real estate, you're not allowed to, the Moicher is not allowed to fool the Lekech into paying too much, and the Lekech is not allowed to fool the Moicher into charging too little. You have the Hainor in both directions. So the Mishnah says, but the Pasuk of Losanu Ishus Hamis appears twice in the same parsha in the end of Chumash Vayikra. Why does it say a second time? The first time already covers all the cases. There's a prohibition of Ainoa. So the Mishnah says, no. Kishem Shainoa b'mekach ha'mem v'kach ha'inoa b'dvar. There's an Isra of Ainoa's dvar. Ainoa's dvar means not to aggravate someone, not to play a practical joke on someone else. We think it's a joke, and he takes it seriously. He hurt his feelings. So that's a serious Isra. So the... Under normal circumstances, one is not permitted to cause any aggravation. You're not allowed to beat someone up. You're not allowed to be mazikas property. You're not allowed to harm him bodily. You're not allowed to imprison him. All of these are prohibitions. But the Shliach Bezin has the right to do this if it's necessary in order to maintain law and order. So the Gemara says that we sometimes apply this principle of Nasis Yodak Shliach Bezin, even though there is no Bezin, even though there's no Smukim today, there's no Bezin. Bezin didn't even know we have Batu Dinim. But the Bezin didn't look into this particular case yet. If it's clear, if it's absolutely clear that the person is doing an Aveira, like the Nirtza, number 7, the Nirtza, he's supposed to remain till Yovel and then he goes free. When it comes Yom Kippur and Yovel, that's the end of his Avdus. And he's also the Shivcha Knainis. And he's still living with the Shivcha Knainis, and then anyone has a right to act as the Shliach Bezin to beat him up, to pressure him to stop doing the Aveira. This is not an oinish l'sha'ovar, this is a koifan ala mitzvah l'habot, to pressure the person not to do an avera. So that's what Rabbi Kevega quoted in Hilchos Shabbos in Shin Lamites. If a person wants to be ma'agin his wife, he wants to leave town, and he's not going to be living with his wife, and she's going to be stuck. She'll remain in Eshesish without a husband, without any heter to marry anyone else. So this is considered a serious avera. In fact, the Gemara in Bava Metzia, and number 10 of the Mar Mekayim, the Gemara says in Bava Metzia that the Isur of Ainoa's Dvorim, not to cause aggravation to anyone else, applies specifically by women. The Gemara says, Li'olam Yehayodim Zor B'Ainoa's Ishto. A husband has to be very careful not to hurt his wife's feelings. It's to cause aggravation to one's wife is an added Isur of Ainoa's Dvorim. It's one of the Shibudim of the Bali Ishtoi. To love, honor, and cherish his wife. And in addition to that, when he got married, he promised to treat his wife, Gehilchas Girvin Yudoy, treat his wife like a normal Jewish husband. And in addition to violation of the marriage contract when he got married, it's also a violation of the general Isur of Ainoa's Dvorim. in Ibn Ezer, in number 4 of the Marmei Kaimis, the Shulchan Aruch quotes that there is from Taisvis. Taisvis points and said on the Gemaras that sometimes the Tanoim instituted Takonis, sometimes the Tanoim, sometimes the Amoraim instituted Takonis, that sometimes the Kofin Lahotzi, sometimes we force the husband, we pressure the husband if he doesn't agree to give his wife a get. And sometimes it's not Kofin Osa B'Shotim, but it's only Kofin Osa B'Mili. We pressure him extremely in order to force him to give a get. And sometimes there is no such thing. Sometimes it's the fault of the wife. So why should we pressure the husband to give his wife a get? If she's at fault, she's the one who's ruining the marriage. Not always the fault of the husband. So the Shulchan Aruch says, even in a situation where the bezin is neither kofah b'shoti, no kofah b'mili, neither kofah with no kofah nosa b'mili, we don't pressure him by speaking harshly. But nonetheless, the Shulchan Aruch says, mikol makom, yichodim ligzor. This is a Ramah in number 4 in Ibn Ezra. Yichodim ligzor al kol Yisrael shalalas es lo shum toivo. We can let the public know that it's not proper. This man is doing something improper by not giving his wife a gift. We can encourage everyone not to do him any toivah. They shouldn't deal in business with him. Or if the bezin feels that it's necessary, we can tell all the moilim, when this fellow's wife has a baby boy, don't perform the bris milah. So this may pressure him, if he's a religious Jew, this will pressure him into agreeing to give his wife a gift. Until he gives a get. So now we pressure people into giving a get sometimes by encouraging the people in the shuls not to daven, not to let the person daven in shul. So the Shulchan Aruch says that that's not considered kaifin ala get. The Vilna Gaon explains that there in number 5, why isn't that considered? If the Gemara says sometimes we are kaif ala get, sometimes you're not kaif ala get. You don't let the fellow daven in shul. Isn't that the kfi ala get? He's a religious Jew, so you're pressuring him. So the Vilna Gaon quotes from the Rishonim, "Kol she'ein oisem ma'aseh begufo lab isay mikri." If you imprison him, to pressure him to give a get, so that's considered the get ma'usa. Or if you beat him up, that's considered get ma'usa. But if you don't do anything begufo, you just don't let him daven in shul. He has a prayer to go to a different city. Since he has a prayer, yochali notam izay leilach leiracheres, so that's not considered tiyala get. In our situations, usually, we're not talking about, you see, in the Shulchan Aruch, they're talking about a situation, the fellow is married to his wife, he's living with his wife. The wife can't stand him, but they're still living together. He raises the children, he gives his wife money, spending money, she just wants to get divorced. But then the Shulchan Aruch has different cases. Sometimes you're kofah b'shoyte, sometimes you're kofah b'mili, sometimes you're not kofah at all. Usually the cases that we're, not usually, the ruba of the cases we're talking about, the husband already gave his wife a civil divorce, or they're not living together, they ain't cover code. It's not, of course it's the first category. By us, 99% of the time, of course you have a right to be kofah ala get. That's how Rabbi Kivega said in Hilchos Shabbos, if the fellow wants to run away to be magen his wife. Not that he's living with his wife and she doesn't want to remain married to him and he wants to remain married to her. That's the classical case that they're talking about in Shulchan Aruch. But yes, we're talking about a case, the husband is ma'agan his wife, berishes, ba'avera. Of course, in such a case, the p'sak would most of the time, the p'sak would be the kofah b'shoyte. But even if you have a situation where you're not kofah b'shoyte, so the Shulchan Aruch says that these kind of kfiyas are not considered a get me'usa. The Rambam has a famous line, in number 11, Rambam has a din there that not everyone agrees to. But the Rambam's expression is a famous line that a woman who is married is not considered a prisoner of war, that she has to remain with her husband. See, the Rambam is talking about a case where the couple is married, the husband is living with his wife, and he wants to remain with his wife, and she can't stand him. She wants to be free. So such a situation, the Rambam has that lashon, that the married woman is not considered a prisoner of war. We have a practice right before we, on the Saturday get, this is in Shulchan Aruch, Hemenezer Kuf Lamadalet Sifhei, I don't know if this, here, number 13 in the Marmei Kaimis. So the Mechaber writes, Im Nishba Habal Liten Get, what if the husband took a shvua that he's going to give his wife a get, and he gives the get in order not to be in violation of the shvua? Nobody pressured him to take a shvua. He was a nice fellow. He took the shvua. He's going to give his wife when they had a dispute. So he swore that he's going to give his wife a get, or he shook hands with the wife, or he shook hands with the father-in-law, tkiyas kaf, also has a din like a shvur. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes that there is a big machlekes harishanim. Some rishanim say that that's considered a get bal korchai. How is it a get bal korchai? Usually bal korchai means that there was some outside pressure. Somebody from the outside pressured me to do something that I didn't agree to do. But if I pressure myself, I take a shvur, I make a tkiyas kaf that I'm going to give my wife a get, why is that considered a get bal korchai? So the Pashto says, you look at number 12 in the Rambam, number 12 of the Marmakaimus, the Rambam starts off Hilchas Gittin. He says, Asor Dvarim Heim Iker Agerishim Min HaTorah. There are 10 guiding principles when it comes to getting divorced. That one of them is, Shelo Yigarish Arish Ela Birtzon. And the Rambam has a pasuk for each one of the 10 dinim. So one of the dinim is that the husband can only divorce his wife out of his own free will. And the Rambam demonstrates this din based on psukim. He quotes everything from the Sifrei and the psukim in Chumash Dvarim in the Parsha of Gerushim. So the commentaries ask on the Rambam and the Sifrei, why do you need a pasuk to say that Shalai Garish Ela Bertzona, that the get can only be given out of his own free will? That's a din in any kinyan. Let's say you buy a house, you buy furniture, you sell an automobile, you take a nether, a shvua, any maisa has to be midaito. You have to have the haskama of the person. You can't do anything bal korcha shalodim. So why does Rambam need a special pasuk over here to indicate that you need midasa adam? So the answer is that apparently the Rambam thinks that the das by gerushin is a higher level of das. You need a stronger das. So that's why the Rambam himself doesn't say this, but this is from the Ritva. The Beis Yosef quotes this from the Ritva that we machmed that if the husband took a shvuah on his own that he's going to give his wife a get, that's considered a get bal korcha. So a man took a shvuah that he's going to marry a girl, a couple gets engaged, and he swears he's going to marry the girl. And then he signs a tanoim. And the tanoim means if I don't marry the girl by a certain date, I'll pay a penalty. If I back up from the shidduch, I'll pay a penalty. And the girl accepts such a penalty also. So there's a long pesach tshuva, number 15, who quotes this kasha from the Yeshua's Yankiv. Take a look at number 14 in the Marmakaimus. This is the Siman Nun and Ebenezer. They talk about tanoim. When a couple gets engaged, so the boy's father and the girl's father, the tradition used to be for centuries that they would accept upon themselves a knas mamon if they back out from the shidduch. So there's a question whether this is considered asmachta or not. Asmachta means when a person takes a kinyan, an obligation, ala tanai. Let's say I have a chavrusa in the Beis Medrash and I come late every day. So he says, come late every day, I'm going to dump you and get myself a different chavrusa. I keep on pleading with him, no, don't, give me another chance. So I accept upon myself a knas. If I come late tomorrow, I obligate myself to give you $100,000 a penalty. I come late the next day also. And I made kinyonim with him. So do I have to pay the $100,000? So the Gemara says, no, that's called asmachta. And asmachta lo kanyi. What does it mean asmachta? Asmachta means his chayva salatanai, where there's an umdar in the mukhaf that I thought it's never going to happen. If I would really realize that I'm going to have to pay $100,000, I would never have said that. At the time, I thought I'm going to come on time tomorrow. And then I went back to my old habit, and I always come late. So in such a situation, the Gemara has a machlekes tatanoim, a mishnah in the end of Baba Basra, we pass from like the Tana that asmachta lo kanya. So that's the question. When a couple gets engaged and they're lovey-dovey with each other, so of course they think they're not going to back out from the shidduch. So each one says, if I back out from the shidduch, I'll pay you $100,000. So in the event that later on somebody backs out from the shidduch, so you should really say, asmachta lo kanya, you shouldn't have to pay. It was a hischaivus ala tanai, with a zanum der nemuchach at the time that they took the hischaivus, they thought it's never going to come to realization. So the Ramah says that this is binding. The Ramah number 14. The Yishom kol knos u'shoisim shiduchim ein behem yishum asmachta, it's not considered asmachta. The chen haminik poshu. The common practice is that we assume that if someone backs out from the shidduch and they sign tonight, they really have to pay through the nose. They have to pay all the money. So the question is, the Pesachim Shulah quotes the Kasha there, that's in Siman Nun, in Ebenezer. So the Pesachim Shulah in Sivkot Neches quotes when Yeshua Siyankiv the Kasha, that if a couple made Tinoim in advance of the marriage, so when the Chosin gets married under the Chuppah, he's getting married in order not to have to pay the penalties. So maybe that should be considered a Kiddushin Bal Korcha, because by a get, in Siman Kuf Lamedalad, where we were quoting before, Kuf Lamedalad in number 13, so the Chava quotes, Nishbaha Bali ten get, that the husband took a shvuah, he's going to give a get, or he made a tkiyas kaf, he shook hands, the tkiyas kaf is also a shvuah. So then we're machma, like the Rishonim would say, even though no one pressured him, into it, accepting the Shvua, we are machmen to treat this like a get bal korchoi. So the practice is, before you masada a get, you ask the husband, did you take a Shvua to give your wife a get? And he says no. Then you say, in the event that you don't remember, in the event that you did take a Shvua and you forgot, would you want us to give you hataras and darm? And he says yes. So then we say, mutalach, mutalach, mutalach. You always start off the procedure of the get with the hataras and darm. In the event that he took a Shvua to give the get, we don't want it to be a get bal korcha. What if he didn't take a Shvua to give the get? What if he was mekabel on himself at last moment? He said, if I don't give you the get within a month, I accept upon myself a penalty to give you $500,000. So then he wants to give the get within a month in order not to have to pay the penalty. But theoretically speaking, he doesn't have to give the get within a month, and he'll pay. So he'll pay the $500,000. The world won't come to an end. By the Shavua case, that's considered, we are Mahmed, that's considered a get bal korcha. But what about by the Knas Mamen case? That's a further machlekes in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shavua is a machlekes, and we're Mahmer on that. And then, the Mechaber writes, Acharobes yiten im yirtza, shein zedoyim alonis. What if he accepted upon himself Knas Mamen? So the Mechaber holds that it's not considered a get bal korcha. And then the Ramah says that that's a machlokes. Vadinim kibul kinyan legareish. Kinyan legareish is a get bal korcha. Vadinim kibul olav knasas im loy garish. That's the Ramah number 13. If the husband accepted upon himself a knas mamon, if I don't give the get within 30 days, I'll pay $500,000. So first the Ramah says lo mikri yoynes, because he has a bearer not to give the get and to pay the money. And then he says v'yesh machimra amfilu biki hagabne v'tov lochesh lachatchila. So the meaning is to be machmer lachatchila, that whenever the husband took a knas mamon, that too is considered a get bal korcha. So the Shulchan Yankev asks, a kiddushin has to be midaita. If you have kiddushin bal korcha, is no good. So that's what every tanoim is all about. The couple took a knas mamon in the event that they back out from the shidduch and they don't go through with the marriage. So there's a knas mamon. So why not consider every kiddushin as a kiddushin bal korcha? So the answer that's usually some people say that it's the whole ritva in number 13. The whole ritva is only a chumra. That if the man took a shvua, this should be considered a get bal korchoi. There was no outside pressuring him. He accepted the shvua on his own, out of his own free will. He took the shvua. So the whole thing is only a chumra. So we're only machmer by a get because it's a shaila to be mekel, to be matemaneshisish lashuk is a more serious shaila than getting married. So that's what the people usually say. The chumra is only we're only choshish for this ritva when it comes to the get. When it comes to kedushim, we're not choshish. In the yeshivas, though, they say a different teretz. They say the name Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. A different teretz. No, it's not some that we're only machma by get because it's a more serious matter. By a get, you need a higher level of das than you need by kedushin. That's what the Rambam wrote in number 12. The Rambam quoted from the Sifrei Adrasha from a pasuk that one of the ten dinim is. That the get has to be given out of the husband's own free will. If he doesn't give it a get out of his own free will, it's no good. So we ask the question, what does he need a pasuk for? All mekach hamemku, all kinyonim have to be midaita. What's the chiddush? Why do you need a separate pasuk? The answer is that you need a higher level of das by a get than you need by mekach hamemka. So one of the nafkaminas is when a get to this kumra. If the fellow took a shvua, let's say I took a shvua that I'll sell you an automobile, I took a shvua, I'll sell you a house. And then later on, I sell you the house. So someone's going to say that since I took a shvua, it's considered a kinyan bal korcha. By yoda, by mekach hamemka, nobody says like that. Of course it's not bal korcha, that's midaita. No one pressured him into taking the shvua. The whole chumra, not that we're only choshish for this by get. The whole chumra only applies to a get. Because a get needs a higher level of das. And a get needs even a higher level of das than by kiddushin. Kiddushin doesn't need such a high level of das. True, git and the kiddushin require a higher level of das than mekach memkar. That is true. It's personal. The person is going to be married or not married. Stop me selling his automobile or he's selling his house. That's one level of das. But to enter into a marriage or to divorce, that requires a higher level of das. That's what Rav Chaim Soloveitchik said. The fact that you need Eidus Lekiyum Adova by git and kiddushin is because of the fact that you need a higher level of das. He has to express his das in public. And also the Gemara says there's no chazara terche de dibur. If a person makes a kinyan, the Gemara says in the end of the darim, you can back out terche de dibur. When it comes to git nekidushin, since it's a higher level of das, you cannot even back out terche de dibur. You don't say terche de dibur, kidibur dami. Because we treat that higher level of das as if it would be a maisa, And backing out from a das derchi dibur is a tchina. That's how the Avnei Milurim says it's a tchina like rosi dibur mevatel dibur. You can back out from das, but rosi dibur mevatel maisa. You cannot back out from a higher level of das. That's considered like breaking a maisa. So this is true. The git nikidushin together require a higher level of das than mekach memkar. But the Rambam in number 12 seems to be telling us something more, that get needs a higher level of das even than by kiddushin. So this whole chumrah of the ritva, that if a person took a shvua that we treated as if it's a get bal korcho, the Rambam was even machmer the next step in number 13. If a person accepted the knas mamon upon himself, so, and he wants to give the get within 30 days in order not to have to pay the knas mamon, that we are toiv lochish lechatchila, the Ramo ended up in number 13. We consider that as a get bal korcha. All of these chumras are only by get. By kiddushin, the Ritva would never say such a thing. It's only chumras by get because the get requires a higher level of das. You see this in the Rambam in the following case, the Mishnah in Erechin, number 16 of the Marmekaimis. The Mishnah in Erechin says, the Mishnah first talks about a different din. If a person has to bring a korban to the Beis HaMikdash and he's not bringing it, so sometimes the Bezin will beat him up and pressure him to give the korban. Ibrahim says Yakir Vosa Lirutzono, has to be out of his own free will. So the Mishnah says Kofanosa, they beat him up, Achiyemeh Reitzani. The Gemara has a whole discussion, what does that help? What do you mean? They beat him up till he says Reitzani. So what good is that? Reitzani means he says something more than the Bezin. Not the Bezin gives him a statement and says, say this statement. Reitzani, he says, he just reads the script. Reitzani means he volunteers on his own something more than what the Bezin forced him to do. He says, okay, I want to give the get already. I wanted to give the get a long time ago. If he says something extra, more than the Bezin forced him to, if he just says, I'm giving the get, so then it's no good. He has to blurt out something more than the Bezin forced him to do or to say. So the Mishnah says that din by korbanos, that based on the pasuk Yakir Vosa Lirtzon at the beginning of Chumash VaYikra, applies also begitei noshim, that sometimes the bezin is koifer b'shoite. So when the bezin hits a person with a stick in order to force him to give a get, so he has to say roitzani. If he doesn't say roitzani, then the get is no good. So the Rambam talks in different places about forcing people into agreements, forcing people into selling property, forcing a person into getting married. So there the Rambam doesn't say Roitzani. In number 17 of the Marmekaimis, the Rambam talks about a girl pressuring a boy. A girl holds a gun up to the boy's head. She says, if you don't marry, I'm going to kill you. So the Rambam says the Kiddushin is good. If the boy holds a gun to the girl's head, so the Gemara says, Mi'ikar adin midaraisa, it is good, the Kiddushin is good. That's told you of Zodin, midarabon, and afkin rabon, and Kiddushin mine. But minatar, it is good. So the Rambam doesn't mention a word over there about Roitzani. So the Ravid is Masig, the last line in the Marmekaimis number 17. The Ravid says, Ushiyama Roitzani. The Rama forgot to say the Roitzani. But the same number 18. The Raman talks about holding a gun to someone. I come to visit someone's home and he has a beautiful library, beautiful paintings, beautiful furniture. And I say, I'd like to buy it. He says, but it's not for sale. What means? It's my private collection. I hold a gun and I say, it is for sale. Either you sell it to me or I kill you. And I pay him the right amount. I don't cheat him. I pay him approximately the right amount. So the Gemara says, "Tell you of his ovens, Venus, Venus." The Gemara says that the sale is valid. So the Rama quotes the din from the Gemara. So the Ravid says he forgot to say Roitzani. The Rama forgot to mention the din that you need Roitzani. So apparently the Rambam is pretty consistent over here. The Rama only quotes Roitzani by the get, because that's the only time that it appears in the Mishnah. It's the Mishnah in Erechin in number 16. The Mishnah only says Roitzani by the get. Apparently that's how they say in the name of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. Rav Lezer Shach has this in his sefer. He writes it on his own, and others say it in the name of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. That the Rambam apparently understood that you only require the kofanos Hashem Roitzani by the two cases that appear in the Mishnah and Erechin, only by the korbanos, because of the special pasuk Yakir Vosa Lirtzono, and by the get, because the get requires a higher level of das than other areas, even kiddushin. The Rambam makes it contrast. Number 17 is by kiddushin, the das habal and das isha. Doesn't need that high level of das. Only by the get does the Rambam require that the husband should say Roitzani. So the some of the Rabbanim have devised a prenuptial agreement in recent years, which is a very good idea. Sometimes a boy is holding by getting engaged, or they're planning getting married, and the boy refuses to sign the prenuptial agreement. So there must be something very wrong if the guy doesn't want to sign it. What is he afraid of? Prenuptial is only an issue There are two documents in the prenuptial agreement. One is to determine which bezin is going to have jurisdiction over the case. What happens, unfortunately, a lot of times is when a couple gets married, the lovey-dovey, okay, they think the happiness is going to last forever. And then a couple of years later, when they get into some kind of a dispute, so it takes them 3 years to like, decide which bezin to go to. They wasted 3 years of each other's lives. So what we do is, before when they're still lovey-dovey, we have them sign an agreement that in case there'll be a dispute later, they already picked out which bezin is going to have jurisdiction. Sure. So you saved yourself 3 years of wasted time. Usually it doesn't make a difference which bezin is going to have jurisdiction anyway. All the batei din are going to say the same thing anyway, that the husband should give his wife a get and divide the property in a reasonable fashion. But just people waste time. So the one document has nothing to fight about. We picked out a bezin in advance, right? Easy enough. The other document is the one that some people think that is questionable. The other document says, in the event that that bezin that we chose will determine that I am acting in an unfair fashion to my wife by withholding a get, so I obligate myself to give my wife $1,000 a week from the time that the bezin declares that I'm acting improperly. I obligate myself to give my wife $1,000, $2,000, that's something reasonable. They're going to say $5. It's not going to encourage him to give a get. $5 a week, so he'll hold out for 20 years. It's not so expensive, but if you say $1,000 a week, so then this will encourage the husband to give his wife again. So some say that this is asmachta and asmachta lo kanya, that at the time that he's in love with his wife, before they get married, this prenuptial agreement, they're madly in love with each other, he thinks that it's never going to happen. So whenever Yavi has chavis ala tanai, and there's an umdat in the muchach that the person thought it's never going to happen, they're madly in love before they get married, so that should be considered asmachta. So Taisus points out it's only considered an asmachta if there's a guzma involved. If there's no guzma involved, it's not considered an asmachta. $1,000 a week is not such a guzma. The husband has an obligation to support his wife. So if he's not living with his wife, it costs $52,000. It depends what standard of living you're going to have. If the husband is living somewhere else, so the wife has to pay for the rent, and she has to pay for food, and she has children, she has to take care of the children. She's entitled to clothing. They're still married. He didn't give her a get yet. So the Baal HaShchayvim is on his issue. He's obligated to support his wife. So $1,000 a week is not so outrageous. $2,000 a week is also not so outrageous. It depends who it is. Sometimes $2,000 a week is not enough to live on, depending on your standard of living. So it's not the pashtus is that it's not considered just like we passed him by the Tanoim. The Ramor said by the Tanoim, that was the Ramor we read before in Simen Nun, number 14. The Ramor said, we passed him that a Tanoim is not considered an asmachta, because the reason why you're accepting upon yourself to pay this knas moment is to back out from the shidduch is because there's embarrassment to the other party. So Tosfos says, therefore, since there's embarrassment, so therefore it's not considered a guzman. So this situation is also not considered a guzman. He's causing aggravation to the wife by not giving her a get. He's being magan the wife. So it's also not considered a guzman in this case. The pashtus says that this is not considered an asmachta. So really it's a very good idea that the couple should sign a prenuptial agreement, both prenuptial agreements, the one that the nomach like is signed at all, the one that you agree which bezin will have jurisdiction, and even the second one where the husband signs an obligation that in the event that he will be magan his wife, he will pay her, you have to fill in how much money per week. So depending who the person is. If he's not that wealthy, say you write $1,000 a week. If he's wealthy, he'll say $2,000 a week. Sometimes that's not enough. $2,000 a week is that's nothing. That's not going to prevent him from being magan as well. Still, he'll still be magan his wife another 20 years. He's rolling in money. So you have to put a larger amount of money that it should be significant. It shouldn't be a guzman, it shouldn't be an asmachta, but it should be something that'll be significant enough to encourage the husband to give his wife a gift. Some people made a tushtel that just like by Hatoras Nedarim, a bezin is mata neder, so the oikra neder meikore. So the Gemara says, even if the person already violated the neder and he deserves malchus, but once the bezin is mata the neder, so since the bezin paskins the neder is a neder tois, so the person is not going to get any malchus. If a person violated a shvua, and sometimes you have to bring a korban olav yoreid, so if the bezin is mata neder later, so the Gemara says in shvua, so it's okay, the shvua meikor comes out, there never was a shvua, and you're not obligated to bring the korban. So there were those who think that just like there's hataras and darim by a neder, so too there's hataras and darim by a marriage. The couple was married for 20 years and they have 10 children. And then if the wife would have known that the husband is going to lose his job 25 years later, she would have never married him in the first place. So he says, is that true? So the wife says, yeah, if I would have known, mutalach, mutalach, mutalach. So the whole kiddushin is kiddushin tos. This obviously is a joke. It's not true. It's not true. And even if it weren't true, even if it weren't true, that's what Tysus says, that's what all the business is like. That's what all life is like. Let's say I buy a stock. I thought the stock is going to go up. I buy real estate. I thought it's going to be a value. Then the stock goes down and the real estate goes down. So I'm going to go give back the stock. So I say, I want my money back. If I would have known that the stock is going to go down, I would have never bought it. So Tysus says, the world of life is like that. You enter into agreements, even though there's a risk, and there are two parties involved. So the same is true by marriage. That's not considered a kiddusha toys. These people who are mafkia kiddushin, it's utterly ridiculous. You have in rare instances, sometimes a couple gets married and there's absolutely a mistake in the marriage. There was some misunderstanding. So the Mishnayos have, you have rare cases where we declare that it's a kiddushin to us, you don't even need a get. But in most cases, we cannot declare that it's considered a kiddushin to us. Sometimes the couples don't get along, so people have a new shtick, they have a new habit now, that they start to investigate whether the Edom or Kosher or Edom or not. They discover that one of the Edom is not 100% Shomer Shabbos, he carries in the Eretz, so he's already in Chal Shabbos, so since he's Pasul Eder, so the whole Kiddushim is not Chal. So that's that case happens to be a joke, but even if you discover that the person is Machal Shabbos, the person is a Bala Vera, the Gedolim in Europe said that it's not proper to be Mafkia Kiddushim. That shouldn't be the first route. If you have no other bravery, you have no other way, a woman is an agun and you're absolutely stuck, there's no way to be mad to the woman, so then sometimes if you'll investigate, it'll turn out that you ate him or puzzle. So sometimes that will cancel the kiddushin. The halacha requires that you have to have edus l'kiyum adol. If you don't have two kosher edim watching when the case of kiddushin was given over, the kiddushin is not chal. But the Gedolim in Europe said that shouldn't be the first mahalach. That should be as a last resort, you should use that. Furthermore, it doesn't always work. The Pesachei Tshuva in Ebenezer quotes the Chassam Sefer that sometimes if he designated, a woman called me up, around 2 weeks ago from California. Ridiculous story. So part of the story was that they designated, she married a yeshiva bacher, and all the, they were all bacher menef and yeshiva were there, and they were all swarming with rabbanim. So they picked the two rabbanim, two of the Rabbanim they considered as Chasher Rabban. At the time they didn't realize that one of the two rabbis was visiting a house of prostitution, and now 5 years later he's going for therapy to try to straighten out the mess. And she's not happily married. If they're having at least 4 or 5 children with her husband, she's not happily married. She wants to get divorced, but she wants to marry a kohen. Her husband Chavrusa. She wants to marry a kohen, so she doesn't want to get a get. So she wants to declare. Some rabbi told her this Seinfeld. She should declare the kiddushin wasn't chal because one of the rabbis was running around with a zayna. So it's not so clear that a rabbi running around with a zayna is pasul eidus. Mara says sometimes you have a concept of yitzro tokfo. Sometimes a person does an aver, he knows he's doing an aver, but because he has such a strong drive, such a strong yitzhar to do the avera, so we consider it as if it's b'shogeg. We know it's b'mezid, but for the purposes of pasul and leidus, also sometimes we consider it b'shogeg. Like one who cheats on income tax is a ganef, and his pasul, strictly speaking, should be pasul leidus, but since people are moraheta, they say, look, everybody cheats on income tax. The president of the United States cheats on income tax, the senators, the judges, the lawyers, everybody cheats a little bit. So everybody knows that it's usur, but that's considered moraheta. If the person that's a chayim that everybody does it, so it can't be so bad. So the Gemara calls that ganav nisim, ganav tishrei. There's certain seasons of the year when the workers on the farm, when they need a lot of extra workers and a lot of bushels of peiros around. So if the ganav walks, if the worker on the farm walks home with some extra peiros that he's not entitled to, so he can't declare that he's pasul eidus because everybody cheats a little bit at that time. Even though it's really b'mezid, he's a ganav b'mezid, we could declare it as a ganav b'shogeg. Yeah, but even bar mitzvah, even if one were to assume that one who, a rabbi who is having an affair with a non-Jewish prostitute, whatever, if he's, even you should assume he is pasul eidus, here the Pesachei Tshuva quotes a Chassam Sofer, they picked out that rabbi, the place was swarming with the religious people. They picked out this rabbi thinking he was one of the most religious in the group. So that was considered a yichud b'tois. And there were other Eidim watching. These were not the only two kosher Eidim there. There were other kosher Eidim watching. There were other people who knew that the Gidushim was taking place. So the Pesachei Tshuva says in such a situation that the fact that they were miyachid this person as an aid is considered a yichud b'tois, and the Kiddushin is going to be chal by virtue of the fact that there were other people watching. People are looking for all kinds of funny gimmicks to try to be mata ragunas. We have to see to it that it should be al pi halacha. It should be always gehalt al pi halacha. If you go with the shtick, it's just ridiculous. Sometimes we encourage a woman to get as soon as possible, and sometimes not. Take for example, we have a gzeir in the Mishnayos that if a woman is pregnant from her first husband, or the woman is nursing a baby from the first husband, she's not permitted to marry someone else. So the Gemara gives a far-fetched chashash that the Chasam Sofer says Bizman HaTanoim was a far-fetched chashash that she's going to marry someone else that's not his child, that's a child from a different husband. So true, he wouldn't kill the child. The Jewish people are not chashidim al shvichas damim, but since it's not his child, so let's say if she's pregnant, he may not be careful enough b'shas tashmish, and he may crush the uber to death, which is a far-fetched chashash. Or let's say if the woman is nursing the baby from the previous husband, so since it's not his baby, he may not pay so much attention, and he may not notice that the baby is not getting enough nutrition, and the baby may die because of a lack of nutrition. Because in the days of the Gemara, when they nursed the baby, that's all the baby had, was the nursing. They didn't give any, they didn't supplement it with any other food. So it's a very far-fetched chashash bizman atanoim. But that's what they were geyser. They were concerned about suffix, akonis nefesh, so they made such a gzeira. So the way it says in the Gemara in the Shulchan Aruch is that the woman is not, the meinekes chaver is not allowed to remarry until 2 years. That's what the Chassam Sofer says. What do you mean? Most of the babies, they didn't nurse for 2 years. Most of the babies, they nursed for less than 1 year. But because some of the babies you nurse for 2 years, a full 2 years, chavdal lechaydesh, and because of this far-fetched chashash, Bizman HaTanoim was far-fetched. That's why they made a loy plug. You always have to wait 2 years. What happens though, let's say, if the husband died or the husband divorced his wife, and she hasn't been nursing the baby for the last 3 months? So she's not. If she hasn't nursed the baby for 3 months, then the milk is not going to come back. So she's going to have to feed the baby, she's going to have to buy formula from the store. So then she doesn't have the din of meinekes chaver. So sometimes a woman is so eager to get divorced, let's say you have cases like that, a young married woman, she's nursing a baby, and she's eager to get divorced, and she wants to get as soon as possible. She gets to get today, now she has to wait till the baby is 2 years old to get divorced. So sometimes we recommend to her, stop nursing the baby for 3 months, and then she's kalishing to get together, and she's been fighting with her husband for the longest time. So sometimes the rabbanim have to encourage, wait 3 months, don't nurse the baby, so that you'll be able to remarry. When a woman gets divorced, she has to wait anyway 90 days, until she's going to find another shidduch. It's also going to take a while. She's not going to find the shidduch so quick. So that's another consideration that people don't think of. There was a couple here in the neighborhood. There was an older woman who was previously married and never had any children, and the husband died, so she needed chalitza. So she was in no rush to get the chalitza because she didn't have anybody else in mind. And then she was dating, and she decided to marry a certain fellow. So she waited. They decided they're going to get married right before Pesach, and they're going away to a hotel together for Pesach. They didn't ask a shayla in advance. So by the time they had the chalitza, she didn't realize you have to wait 3 months after you have chalitza until you remarry. So they weren't 3 months. She didn't tell her rabbanim that she could have had the chalitza years before. She didn't think of it. So they had the chalitza so late that she wasn't allowed to marry the second husband, and they had to go to the hotel and rent two different rooms. So they couldn't be in the same room. So of course, twice in the month. So there's an issue. There's an issue of hatchana. You always have to wait tzadik beis yayin. People have to keep this in mind. There's a din of hatchana when a woman gets divorced. Havchana, when a woman gets divorced, that when her husband dies, is a loyplug rabbana. The Gemara says the whole purpose of Havchana is in order to know who the father of the baby is, whether it's the first husband or the second husband. Now that you have blood types and you have DNA, you have so many different ways to tell. So the Gemara says it doesn't help. Even if Elio Anobi comes and tells us, the woman is 95 years old. We know that she's not pregnant. Her husband's 119 years old. And the husband was in prison for the last 25 years. And the wife was sick in the hospital. The Gemara says, "Who choyle? Who choyle? Who the base hasan? Who the base hasan?" Gemara gives all the cases. Even if Eliyahu Hanavi comes and he tells us the woman is not pregnant, even if Sabados, the woman is not pregnant. That's a loy plug rabbanon. By Giyaris, Bipaskin is not a loy plug. You don't have to wait hafchana whenever you know for sure that the woman is not pregnant. But by an Eshes Ish, by an Eshes Ish, either by a Grusha, by an Almana, by a Chalutza, there it's a loy plug rabbanon. So the people have to ask Shilas about this. That the hafchana to be misada the get in such a way they should be able to take care of the hafchana. And then if the woman is nursing a baby, she should make sure that she doesn't get the get until 3 months go by of not having nursed the baby, and then there won't be an issue of meinekes chaverim. Talmud Yerushalmi has a wild idea. There is a din pikuach nefesh is decha kol ha-Torah kula, except for Avodah Zarah, Gilui Reis, and Shlichus Zarah. So we usually assume that pikuach nefesh means if someone's life is in danger. So there is a minority opinion, that's not the accepted opinion, there is a minority opinion that if a person will suffer extreme pain, that's also considered pikuach nefesh. There is such a Gemara in Ksubas. The Gemara says, "El Moli Nokdu the Hanani Mishal Bazar, you have a plocha letzloma." The Gemara says that they would have tortured the Hanani Mishal Bazar. They would have worshipped. They would have bowed down to the statue. So the Rishonim ask Kakash, "What do you mean? But the Zohar is Yorik Bal Yavar. How can they bow down?" So the Pashup Shat in the Gemara means if they would have tortured them, they wouldn't have had any Pchira Chavshes, like in the Korean War. When they realize that you can, if you torture a person enough, he's going to give in to anything that you say. You suspend his Bechir Chavshis temporarily. That's the Pashup Shat Nigmar. But other Rishonim couldn't visualize such a thing, they couldn't imagine such a thing. So they thought that it means Al Pi Halacha. If they would have tortured Hananim Shal Bazar, they would have been permitted to bow down to the statue. How can they bow down to the statue? It's Avodah Zarah. So Tosis explains the statue was not Avodah Zarah. It was just some Arizain of Avodah Zarah. They just bowed down out of Kavod HaMalchus, but they didn't deify the statue. And other Rishonim say no, that the extreme torture is more severe than giving up your life, and even by Avodah Zarah, where the din is Yehorek Bal Yava, but you're not mechuyav to shitim kibetzus for such an opinion. You're not mechuyav to suffer extreme torture. And other Rishonim say that's not correct, but they're prepared to adopt such a position that extreme suffering is considered pikuach nefesh by the other 610 mitzvahs. So if pikuach nefesh is doicha, so other Rishonim say that it doesn't necessarily have to be pikuach nefesh if the alternative is that the person will suffer extreme pain, so that itself is considered pikuach nefesh. So there is such a passage in the Talmud Yerushalmi. Yosef Engel has a tshuva and Heter Agunis, where he starts off with this passage in the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi points out that whenever, let's say, a woman is married and the husband is missing, we don't know whether he's alive or dead. And we're waiting and waiting, months go by, years go by. So the Rishalmi has a funny expression. We should really have considered the possibility of permitting the woman to remarry, even though she may well be an Eshesish, because she's suffering so much, Nebuchadnezzar, her life is miserable. She doesn't have a husband, she can't get another husband. The only reason why we don't permit it is because this is an issue of Gilui Arayos. And Gilui Arayos Adin is at Yehorek Bal Yava. But this is really considered Pikuach Nefesh. Rabbi Yosef Engel starts off like that. He wants to write this Tshuva Saguna because sometimes being Matam and Aguna is considered an issue that's as serious as Pikuach Nefesh. In the days of the Shulchan Aruch, they had a minhag. It wasn't really a din, they had a minhag that they would make all the negotiations of the division of the money of the marriage would be taken care of before they gave the get, and the get would be the last thing that they did. This is mentioned in Shulchan Aruch as a minhag. They give different reasons why. Today in America, most of the rabbanim feel that we cannot observe this minhag any longer. If you're going to wait to give the get at the end, then the husband is going to use that. Either the husband is going to use it against the wife, or the wife is going to use it against the husband. Whoever is chalashing to get the get, so the other one is going to use it against him. So today in America, the rabbanim recommend, we live in different times, there are a lot of minhagim that we used to observe for years when it was shanim kitikunim, and the Jewish community acted in a normal fashion. So we had beautiful minhagim. If you live in a society where people are acting like criminals, so certain minhagim have to be violated. So this minig we no longer observe. We encourage the couple to give the get in the very beginning, so no one should hold up the other one with respect to the get. What's important to keep in mind is that whoever is chalishing to get the get, either the husband or the wife, should consult their rabbanim with respect to the issues of havchana, with respect to the issues of minekas, and also with respect to the issues of pressuring one to pressure the other to give the get. You have to go to batidinim, and everything has to be done with a legitimate bezin. Sometimes people will go to criminals. Unfortunately, there are criminals in every field, so there are rabbis who are criminals also. So unfortunately, sometimes people, either the husband or the wife, will go to a bezin that has an awful reputation, and they'll recommend things that are against Allah. So you have to go to a reputable bezin, and the bezin should give proper advice. This is the main function of the bezin b'zman hazeh. Years ago, the batidinim used to have smicha, so the role of the bezin was to paskan according to the laws of the Torah. Today, the Gemara says, because nobody has any smicha, so we only act as shlichusayu, the kamoy kavdin, and we act as shlichusayu. So the Gemara says, we only permit shlichusayu if it's a milsa de shlicha is bechisor and kiss. If it's a matter of keeping law and order, that's the role of the melech. Melech b'mishpat yam min eretz, the role of the melech is to keep law and order. And sometimes the batidinim have to act b'mkayim hamelech. The government should really take care of this. We don't have a government. We have separation of church and state. So the American government is not going to pressure a husband to give his wife a get. So the batidinim have a special obligation. This is really the role of the batidinim is manazes, to maintain law and order. That people shouldn't skin each other alive, and people should act decently towards each other. We mentioned about the minig that we no longer preserve here in America. So we mentioned another minig. Earlier we mentioned it, that the Ramah in the Marmakaimis number 13, the Ramah said that l'chatchila we are machmir, that if the husband accepted upon himself a knas mamon if he doesn't give the get within 30 days, he's going to pay a penalty of $500,000. So the Ramah says that tov lochosh l'chatchila, that we consider that a get bal korcho, so the bezin should undo that obligation before the husband gives the get, so it should be considered as if he gave the get out of his own free will. So some of the rabbanim, when Rabbi Willig was working on his prenuptial agreement 10, 15 years ago, I forgot already how long ago it was, maybe more than 15 years ago, so he visited Eretz Yisrael that time, he spoke to several of the big rabbanim from the Rabbanut. So they told him in Eretz Yisrael they don't have this problem. I told them, if a man doesn't want to give the get, they put him in prison. So usually it works. There were people who sat in prison for 60 years. They didn't want to give their wives, they know, principle. They're not going to give in to the Rabbanut. And usually it works. You put a guy in prison, usually it works. But the Rabbanim told him there that if you have this problem in America, you can't put people in prison. So he said, you have no choice. You have to violate that minig. That's a minig in the Shulchan Aruch v'choshish, that a knas mamon is considered a get bal korchai. So he said, if you have a big shas atrak, you should b'shas atrak, you have a right to violate the minig. But we explained previously that the way the prenuptial agreement, the second prenuptial agreement, is drawn up, it isn't even a violation of the minig. Strictly speaking, it's not a guzma, and it's not even considered a knas mamon. It's the husband's obligation to support his wife. So he just says to the tune of $1,000 a week, or the tune of $2,000 a week. It's not even a knas mamon. It's just he's assessing now how much the Sheikh Sisviyana should be. These are some of the issues involved in working with the Agunas to try to make their lives easier. Thank you very much. Yeah.